Joining us right now here on not even on the hotline, he's joining us on Comrex, is Rob Bradford, presented by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil, including BioHeat, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Mr. Bradford, McFarland to you, sir.
Oh, McFarland, I just want to thank you guys all year long, and I want to thank McFarland for powering us through this segment, which I've enjoyed every single week from all corners of the globe. Last week, I was from Miami. Today, I'm in the Baseballs and Boring studio.
Very good. All right. Well, Rob, obviously, the season's almost over. We'll talk about the season. I just want to say, with Joe Castiglione announcing his retirement last week, I know it's very Joe to sort of do this at this point in the season, once he kind of knew it was going to be over and that they couldn't do any big, you know, goodbye tour for him or anything like that. But doesn't it just seem a little wrong that Joe Castiglione's last games here calling, the last games calling the Red Sox full time anyway? He said he's going to be around maybe a little bit part time in the future. But doesn't it just sort of seem wrong that it's because it's going to get all sort of washed away by this useless season here?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it spices up the last game. Otherwise, we'd just be like, who cares? I mean, it's the Patriots going on or whatever. But I think that this is why all eyes should be and all ears should be on Sunday's game. And, you know, I wrote something as an homage to Joe. I mean, we've done a podcast with Joe, and I can't say enough. And I think the biggest thing when it comes to Joe, besides him just being an awesome human being, is that people don't appreciate how much of his voice is a fabric of their sports fandom. And it really is. And for when you're talking about 42 years, I mean, you're talking about literally generations where that's all that you know. And so I think that that's what we should reflect on, and that's what we should appreciate, and really like and soak in, honestly, for the last few games there. It's going to be awesome.
Speaking of appreciation, how much appreciation do you have for what Tanner Houck did over the totality of this season? Goes out another solid performance when, I don't know, he could have been shut down or whatever, could be disinterested. Went from a dominant start to the year to a little bit of shakiness and then stabilized at the end. How important is he going to be for the future of this team?
It's hugely important. I think it's something to be said, or it's an encouraging sign that he was able to sort of being able to punctuate this season by, as you said, Andy, starting games, appearing in games, doing well in games, because for a while there, it looked like you're going to fall off a cliff. And I said this before, I didn't know why they didn't give him more of a break in the season. You knew this was coming. You knew that there probably was going to be some wear and tear, and he's entering a place where he'd never been before, and sure enough, that's exactly what happened. But to rebound and to do what he did and to feel good about yourself heading into the offseason is a huge, huge thing. Now, all of that said, do I say, hey, there you go, there's your Tarek Skubal, no questions asked, he's your ace, he's the guy who's going to be able to get you the postseason and then pitch 25 more innings? No, I don't think that yet. I think that he's a big part of the puzzle. I do think he's a guy that you put at the top of the rotation, but I do think for this team, what they need is a no doubt about it, ace guy who, as you say, I know how to get through a major league season, and beyond that, I know how to dominate a postseason, you know, going back to the where, you know, what scratches our itch, which is the Josh Becketts and the John Lesters and those sort of guys.
Yeah, well, all the guys who are going to be free agents that match that are all like 45 years old. You got Verlander and Scherzer and, you know, those type of guys up at the top. And then there's the Corbin Burns of the world, Jack Flaherty, Kyle Hendricks, Shane Bieber, who I know missed all this year, but there are some other names out there. Is it realistic to assume that Craig Breslow is going to be given the green light to go out there and not get another Lucas Giolito, but go out there and get a real frontline guy and pay the cost for that? Is that something that we as Red Sox fans should expect this year?
Well, whether it's that pitcher or a position player, you know, we've talked about this before. He's hinted at this. He's said that this is the time they can do it. They have the prospects. They have the cost control prospects. You can spend the money now. Last season wasn't predictive of this season. All of it, but you know, you lost the benefit of the doubt, and we don't know. We can't say that they are until they do it, because they haven't done it,
right?
And they haven't done it for a few years. Who would have known? Who would have thought that offseason of the Kenley Jansen, Chris Martin, Jason Turner, you know, Yoshida, that offseason was going to be the shock and awe offseason compared to what we've seen. So we can't say that's going to happen. Now, I will say this, is that we're not just talking about spending money. You can get the guy. To me, honestly, I'd rather see them trade for that guy that we're talking about. I don't, you know, the guys that you're talking about in free agency, you know, buyer beware. But I think that you could make a trade. You have the pieces to make a significant trade, to make the type of trade you made when you got Craig Kimbrell, when you got Chris Sale. Are they going to be bold? Are they going to be comfortable? Or are they going to be willing to get uncomfortable enough to do that trade? Like, gasp, Dave Dombrowski did? I don't know. We don't know that. But I think to get that player, that's the route you're going to have to go to. And there's no excuse in the sense of saying we don't have those guys, because you do have those guys to trade.
I'm going
to
ask you to look into your baseball isn't boring crystal ball then. Which of the pretty big group of names that fans have maybe grown attached to, relatively young major leaguers or prospects that they've heard their names a lot, which couple of those should they maybe prepare to hear as part of a trade?
Well, I would say Marcelo Meyer, but his stock has been devalued a little bit.
I
still think he's a good major league player and have a ton of value. You have a guy inside the top 15 and top 100 prospects, you're still perceived as a really good player. And listen, he was out for a month and a half. He had a good year this year, all of that. So you are still going to get value for him. And for the Red Sox, the other part about this is almost all these other guys, positionally, you say, well, there's a fit. Like, Teal, obvious fit. You know, if nothing else, platoon catcher. You have Campbell, obvious fit. Potential second baseman. Anthony, you're gonna trade an outfielder anyway, so why not implement him? With Marcelo Meyer, you have Trevor Story sitting there. Trevor Story is still a good player. You have to assume that he's going to be healthy. You have to assume that he's going to be your starting shortstop, and he is a very good defender, if nothing else. So where does Marcelo Meyer fit in this equation? And I think that I don't think enough people are talking about that Marcelo Meyer should be in the major leagues next year. But what does that look like? How do you find that? So to answer your question, I mean, I don't know if they're willing to take that leap of faith of saying, you know, we're going to move on for a potential all-star in Marcelo Meyer. But if you're talking about all those guys, that's probably the most logical one.
Yeah, probably. The Red Sox have some guys who were productive this year that are free agents or about to be free agents that everywhere I look, Rob, I see people saying, yeah, you can kiss these guys goodbye. I'm talking about Nick Pivetta. I'm talking about Tyler O'Neill. That's a crowded outfield, obviously. And Pivetta, I mean, listen, he's been better than I think anybody expected when they acquired him from Philly. Do you think that there's a chance, is, you know, older and much, they need to make room for these young outfielders. Could Tyler O'Neill get another contract here? He's been very productive, and they do need some right-handed power.
I think that they're going to get a player like him. I don't know if he's going to get that player. And I'm a proponent of bringing him back because I think, you know, I've said this before, like there are certain guys I just feel like this is the spot for you. And I know he was banged up and hurt and everything else, but the park, the atmosphere, the clubhouse, like everything, he's a good fit. And I've, Jason Bay is a guy for me. It just, if he stayed, I just think he would have been good, and his career went off the rails with the Mets. And there's other guys. There's plenty of other
Hunter
guys.
Hunter Renfro, Justin Turner. It seems like every time they get a right-handed power bat, they let him go.
Yeah. And you know, there's, and we all say, what a fit, what a fit, what a fit. And they move on. And they, you know, in fairness, they go out and get out someone useful.
True.
But, you know, if you look at everyone screaming and yelling about Teoscar Hernandez, he's not a terrible acquisition. But Tyler O'Neill's had a better year than Teoscar Hernandez. But the problem is that Tyler O'Neill's a Boris guy. Tyler O'Neill's entering free agency for the first time, and Tyler O'Neill is probably going to be looking for a three-year contract, which my guess is that there's no chance he would be getting from the Boston Red Sox. So I would like to see him back. I don't think he's going to be coming back. I don't think Bavette is coming back.
Jansen?
I think the who?
Kenley Jansen?
I don't think Kenley's coming back. No. And I think the best chance you're going to have is a guy like Chris Martin, which, you know, I think that it's going to obviously cost less than Kenley. He was a good acquisition. He's been good when he's pitched. And also, in that, I was talking to someone the other day about the dynamics of the bullpen. You have a bunch of guys who are trying to make their way, right? You have a bunch of guys who are trying to find their certainty in Major League Baseball, which is fine. You need a guy out there who isn't that way. You need a guy out there who can just say, you know, hey, listen, up and down, this is how you do it. And it helps that he's really, really good. Right? So is he going to be a closer? No, you still have to find closers. You have to find a closer beyond Liam Hendricks. Absolutely. But I think Chris Martin's a pretty good fit for this team.
Yoshida is a guy that seems like he's a bit of a, I don't know, roadblock, detriment to putting a lineup together on certain days. Is he here for the foreseeable future? Is he a guy they might include in a package? I know he's probably not all that tradable given his contract and his role, but what do you see his future being?
Yeah, I think you got to find a way to deal him. He's square peg, round hole. I mean, it's just, he's, you know, he's shown flashes. He's fine, but it is striking how they just refuse to play him in the field.
Yeah, why is that?
Because he's not good.
Yeah, but that bad? Like, yeah, that bad?
Well, think about it. It's a good point because he is that bad. I mean, the fact is, and it's really, I don't want to say it's not his fault, but he if you get to the ball, like, he can make the play, but he's so athletically challenged, and as someone who is very athletically challenged, I, you know, tip of the hat to him. But still, the fact is that you went into that contract and said, that guy's going to play left field. Yeah, he's not athletic. Yeah, he's not a great defender, but he can play out there, to the point where you took his glove away from him, almost literally, in spring training. And now, like, that's not even an option. And all he is really a left-handed DH who doesn't hit with a ton of power, who might get on some hot streaks, but really his bread and butter is hit it to the right side and hope that they didn't position the guy correctly. So, you know, that's no way to go. And they need a right-handed bat. And, you know, and then we haven't even entered in the conversation. Are they going to take the big gulp and say Rafael Devers would have moved you off at third base, which might be a whole nother dynamic? Right. You know, so, you know, it's just, again, square peg, round hole with Yoshida.
How different is this team going to look next year? I mean, obviously, there's free agents who are going to leave, but in terms of what you just said, Rafael Devers maybe moving over to first base, Tristan Casas then figuring out what to do with him, trying to get more right-handed with all these lefties coming up through the system. Like, could we see big changes next year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, now, big changes is sort of relative, but it's not going to be this case. I don't think, it shouldn't be this case of, oh, look at the year we had. All these guys are young. They perform pretty well, and they're going to only get better. And so they're only going to get better, so we're going to be better. No, you have a mismatched lineup. You have guys who, you know, you have to identify, are these the guys to build around? Are you gonna be willing to ride and die with guys like Casas, with Duran, with those sort of guys? Or are you going to say, yeah, they're really, really good, but we have to get other players? There's plenty of teams that make trades for need. You trade away guys that you know are really good, mm-hmm. that you know are going to be all-stars. I mean, like, go back to Luis Arraez for Pablo Lopez. Like, it happens. Sometimes you just need something that you don't have, and you have to trade away something you do have. That's what I'm really, really anxious to see. But to answer your question, I do think there's going to be some turnover here, and some turnover which we probably didn't see coming and certainly didn't predict a couple months ago.
How much of a central figure in that will be your manager, who signed an extension and seems like he's dealt with the totality of this season pretty much very well emotionally? But how much say does he have in terms of the direction the organization goes?
I think he does. I think he has a fair amount of say. And I say that because I think this was sort of the understanding when you're locked up, when you signed this deal back in July, that it's a partnership with him and Breslow. This isn't going to be the Chaim Bloom, Alex Cora era going forward for the next 3 years. No. It's going to be a different dynamic. He's going to have more of a say. Will he have the final say? No, he's not going to have the final say. And another part of this, guys, that's going to be intriguing is that there's a lot of coaches whose contracts are up. Mm. I mean, Andrew Bailey's contract isn't up, but almost everybody else, their contracts are up. So how much of that are you going to turn over? What does Alex Cora feel about that? But you can't just keep going into every year saying we got to be better defensively and then leading the league in errors. It's become almost comical how every year you're saying this and every year you have some sort of idea of how you're going to fix it and you don't. So, you know, things like that, you have to figure this out. And Alex Cora has to get together with Craig Breslow and say, whether it's a coaching staff, whether it's personnel, whatever it is, but we got to take a different route here.
All right, Rob Bradford, thanks so much for the time all season long. It's been great talking with you, and hopefully, we'll be talking about big moves that get made in this offseason, because I think it's high time we see some.
I'm looking for the postseason. I know it's, you know, I'm in the world of baseball, whatever. But and Andy brings it up. I thought the Ohtani thing, if nothing else, finally, like this go, like finally, Shohei Ohtani on a big stage. Yep. I mean, we don't get Mike Trout, but at least we get Ohtani.
True. All right, we'll leave it right there. Rob Bradford, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again. We'll talk to you again soon.
See you, bye. All right, see you guys.
All right, that is the great Rob Bradford joining us here on WEEI Afternoons.